was a moment in the dark.
Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU. This is the Experience Points Radio Show. I am MG.
It took him three tries to start this show.
Yeah, you know, we had false starts.
I'm
10 yards worth of penalties in the booth.
I am Dustin, the humiliator.
That's it. We opened the whole thing up with This City Made Us by the Proto Men. Welcome back, Dustin. We skipped a week.
Yes.
Because
finals.
I don't know why. Was it finals?
It was finals.
It was finals. We thought it best to skip a week, I guess.
Yeah, because you had to give finals.
I had to give finals. You had to take finals.
I had to take a bunch of finals.
Yeah, I'm a giver. You're the taker. You're just the consumer.
Yeah.
You don't produce.
No, I just sit on the couch. I don't help with the dishes.
That's it. For those that are wondering what this is even about, we're just rambling people on the radio show. This is the Experience Points Radio Show. We talk about nerd and geek stuff. At relative points throughout the week, usually Wednesdays, usually every week, sometimes not, though, from 9 to 10. So thanks for hanging out with us tonight.
Okay.
We have a website. I love how you're just like, go on. I'm intrigued.
Yes.
Edge of my seat.
I'm new to all this. Please continue.
I'm edge of my seat. Thank you, man. Stand-in man for the thing. We have a website, exppoints.com. Remember, always double tap the P. There's a lot of old information on that site, though. We will be renovating it throughout the summer. At least that's what I'm going to say right now. That's the lie I choose to tell everybody. We also have social media. You'll find it if you go to the website. Remember, exppoints.com. Let's talk after this song, though. This is one I haven't played since Halloween. I love this song. It's called The Living Dead by No More Kings. I was going to play Sweep the Leg by No More Kings because people have been talking a lot about the Cobra Kai show.
Yeah, I heard. Professor Burns on our show a couple weeks ago was all about that.
It's weird that we're not going to play that song, and then I'm going to tell a story about why I decided to not play that song. I didn't see the original Karate Kid or the Karate Kid Part 2 or whatever.
Yeah.
I saw the next Karate Kid first.
With Hilary Swank?
Was that Hilary Swank? Was
yes.
That the girl? Yeah.
So yeah, that's Hilary Swank.
I didn't realize it was Hilary Swank because I was a kid when I saw it. And I thought this was like, it was like the next Karate Kid. I'm like, whoa, cool. And then I see like the Karate Kid and I'm like, Mr. Miyagi looks younger. I wonder, is this a prequel? And I'm like, oh, wait, no, this came out before all these other ones. I just didn't see it because I think USA or TNT didn't have the ability to license the first two. They only had the third one to license in between licensing Twister forever. So they, you know, I had it all chronologically out of order. And by the time I did eventually see the Karate Kid and then Part 2, I had already sort of just in my head said, like, this is the Karate Kids. This is a girl. It's Hilary Swank. So I didn't have an attachment to any of those characters early, like in the 80s. Same thing like Breakfast Club or whatever.
Have you since watched them?
Oh, yeah, no, I've seen them, yeah.
Okay.
But I guess people are really losing their minds over Cobra Kai, and I'm just kind of like, yeah, maybe. I guess it's a thing that people would like. I mean, clearly it's successful and it's working out, but I don't have the attachment.
I was so worried because I'm like, this feels like a nostalgia grab, and you know, everyone's saying it's good, and I was like, oh, well.
Hey, it's the Breakfast Club, but everybody's part of the administration now.
It's the Lunch Club now.
It's the Lunch Club. There you go. Yeah, you can't have it the other way around. Anyway, so that's why we're not playing Sweep the Leg, but that is a connection to that. That's a segue into not that song.
It's a segue to not a segue.
That's it. The Living Dead by No More Kings, totally misplaced, not near Halloween at all. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
This is the Experience Points Radio Show exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU. Your decision making on this show is a call into question. I think we should hold a referendum for a new leader. All those in favor of a new leader? All those not in favor? I'm abstaining. Well.
Welcome back to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM KSLU, still the Experience Points radio show. I'm MG.
I'm still Dustin.
That was No More Kings with The Living Dead. I am still Supreme Chancellor of the Experience Points radio show.
Yeah,
that's exactly what I thought of.
Yeah.
Do it.
Game rooms, do it.
Yeah, you need some coffee? Brew it.
Brew it.
Anyway,
stealing their bit, sorry.
The last few weeks have been busy, I think, for everybody on campus because we've been through finals. If you were part of commencement, part of graduation, whether you had a hand in teaching or had a hand in graduating, congratulations. Without you, we wouldn't be doing this show. This show wouldn't be a thing. We wouldn't have a radio station.
Yeah, good job with the hands.
Good job with the
good hand. No, never mind.
What are you talking about?
You get a good job with their hands.
You had a hand in it.
They had a hand in it with their job.
I'm sorry. So for people that don't know what was off, I guess, off mic.
What do you mean off? What are you talking about? So, it's just a good job they had with their hands.
No, I know.
And they didn't do anything perverse or weird at all, Matt.
No,
what is your deal?
No, I was going to say, like, you've been, like, throwing good bits out, like, while we're getting ready for the show. And I'm, like, asking you to explain these jokes because I don't get them. And part of it was like the first one was like I didn't hear like what the actual word was, so it didn't make any sense. But the other three or four was totally on me. I was just being stupid.
It just
and
totally
not getting it.
It's a good joke, but I've heard a frog and a joke are very much the same in that when you start dissecting the frog, you do understand it better, but it does die in the process.
There you go.
The same thing with jokes.
That's good. That's a really. I'm gonna remember that. I'm gonna tell my wee children once I have them.
Yeah.
And they're wee, I guess.
They're
wee children.
They're coming in wee.
They're coming in wee.
That's what it means. Pee on your kids. They're your kids. My wee children.
R. Kelly'd real quick. So this is the segment of the show where we talk about what we did or what we watched or what we did. Any of the stuff for the last, at this point, 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You have been watching some things. Let me just hit my mic.
I've just been watching a whole bunch of shows.
Lots of shows.
Because video game wise, we're kind of in a lull.
Well,
right
we're prepping for E3. We're prepping for E3. E3 is going to be, what, in the end of May, early June or something?
Yeah, early June, I think.
We only have a small amount of, like, video game-esque knowledge to throw the listeners' way because it is sort of a down period. I mean, and this is Polygon feels this way. Mm-hmm. Kotaku feels this way.
June 12th through the 14th. So we got those few days.
So we got about 2-3 more weeks until...
Let's talk about what we did real quick, and then we'll talk about what we're expecting from, distant predictions on
E3. I want to talk about predictions, and I also want to, hit on something I did, and I do want to hit on what, I was listening to, I don't know if you listen to Kotaku Split Screen. I'm going to plug Kirk Hamilton and Jason Schreier from Kotaku do a separate podcast called Kotaku Split Screen.
Right.
And I listened to that because it's always good to hear. I always listen to.
To hear the less handsome people.
Yeah. We're going to call them the competition, but if you guys are listening,
they may dominate us.
Right. I mean, they're just doing a podcast. I mean, we actually have a radio frequency, so I'm just saying.
Whoa.
We have a transmitter. They have a server, whatever. but, all joking aside, they had some look at these bozos.
Serving it up. What are you, a waiter? I pretend to not understand the technology.
I love it. They had a topic. They had one of the editors at large from the editor at large from Polygon on to talk about a topic. So I'd like to kind of rehash that topic because it's regarding E3 and that sort of season. But let's talk about what you did. What'd you do?
Okay. Well, since I haven't really saw anything that's caught my eye or really interested me so much. I've been just kind of playing around with just catching up on shows I was initially interested, just never got around to really watching. One of them being on Netflix, Altered Carbon.
Yeah.
Binge watch that, finished that.
You finished it. What did you think about it overall?
Overall good.
Okay.
Overall good. Worth my time. There's some weird writing things, and I'm like, what? Kind of like with that, like, kind of caught me. I'm like, this could have used a little bit more. But the story was good. I liked it. Kind of a very interesting sci-fi premise.
I know. I've heard it described, and I've only seen 3 or 4 episodes of it, but it's like a weird mix-mash between, like, it approaches Blade Runner. but it doesn't get close to the deep dive that Blade Runner got to.
No, it never gets as dark as Blade Runner.
So it gets sort of more like a mix of Firefly, Blade Runner, and...
there's a movie that came out called Neon Demon it really reminds me of.
Neon Demon, I'll have to...
And I didn't see that, but I saw the trailers, but it reminds me a lot of that kind of thing of... yeah, I got a lot of... yes, a lot of that. I got a little bit of Logan's Run out of it for some reason. But overall, it's got its own unique kind of interesting kind of cerebral concept story-wise.
I definitely appreciate in the early – I think we can maybe like spoil just basic concepts. Like in the future, we figured out technology for you to – it's called resleeving.
Yeah, basically you have these things called a stack. I'm going to keep it – it uses – this is like few terminologies they use in
first,
the show.
This is first episode and early in the first episode.
Yeah, this isn't
so it's not super
every
crazy.
Human being has a stack in their neck. It's a little disc, and that is you.
Yeah, that's like your consciousness, your soul, your everything.
Right,
your
and memories. You can transfer that like wirelessly to another sleeve if you want.
Right.
But you can only do it one at a time. It's illegal to do two at a time.
Right.
And if your stack gets destroyed, you're destroyed. Dead. You're dead. That's the idea. And the metaphor is like a snake shedding skin.
That's like there's the theme throughout the entire show of that. And anyway, there's a crime that occurs and mm-hmm. one of the main characters got to have to like solve the crime, but he's got some weird stuff going on too. And then there's a really hot cop in it.
She's
very, very pretty. Mm-hmm. She's like from a Spanish soap opera.
I think so.
Because I may have IMDb stalked her.
A little bit. Yeah,
just a tad, just a small.
But yeah, it's pretty good level.
It's a Netflix original, right?
It's a Netflix original based off a novel.
Yeah.
I've noticed there is a noticeable pattern I have been noticing for redundancy there that a lot of times these Netflix shows will get really strong leads and then. Kind of around those leads, everyone else is not as strong.
Yeah.
And it's very noticeable. I can tell you the biggest one I really notice it with is the Punisher series, the Marvel Netflix series. The Punisher is he's really strong.
Right.
Everyone else is not as strong as
that was the guy they had, I can't remember his name, but he's from Walking Dead. He was
John Barenthal or something like that.
Yeah.
But he's really good. He's almost too good, and that everyone else.
It pales in comparison.
They don't have the writing kind of geared for their character.
That's unfortunate. I haven't watched.
That's the thing.
That's actually something I've been trying to work on as I've been trying to catch up on the Marvel movies so I can go see Avengers.
Right.
And I haven't yet, but I recently, thankfully, Black Panther came out digitally.
Yes, you've been wanting
on May 8th. And it came out on Blu-ray and DVD, I think, yesterday on the 15th.
Yes, it did.
So
Best Buy let me know.
I finally been able to watch Black Panther. And you've seen it, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it yet. I want you to finish what you were doing, unless you are done.
No, the only other show I had was My Hero Academia, the anime. And that boy is a delightful puppy. And I am so happy for him. I watch it in here. A lot of the time, and I loudly proclaimed yes to like when no spoilers or anything, but like this little guy, he's like, you know, it's tiny, and he's a classic underdog story.
Nice.
So I'm enjoying the heck out of it. It's
I know I definitely have seen it, and it's on like my to watch list. I don't know anything about it though. I think I remember watching the trailer, and I just can't remember anything about it.
It's got a very fun, charming sense of humor. It's a very charming show, I think I'm watching it and I'm about to get into – it feels like I'm about to get into some dark territory
about
here.
About to be some plot happen.
And I'm like, this is about to get some serious stuff here.
Nice.
But, I'm enjoying the heck out of it. It's been when I kind of go home and start binge watching.
That's great. So, like, after your final – did you do all right in your finals? You
did average, literally average in my finals. I passed all my class. I'm too tired.
There you go.
To really put in maximum effort anymore.
Yeah.
I find it difficult now. I just want my degree to be done.
Oh, you're in you're a senior though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you're getting senioritis real bad.
Fall.
Oh no,
I'm graduating in the fall. So
okay, well,
but other than that, I mean, that's about. I haven't done anything terribly interesting. That's about it.
You're terribly interesting yourself. So I mean, you're with
oh
you
god,
all the
yes.
time.
I
rivet myself.
I'm amazing.
Maybe that's not the right verb to use.
I
rivet myself.
I rivet myself so hard.
That's it.
Gosh. So you watched Black Panther.
I watched Black Panther. Well, before that, let's back up. because we can open up a lot of this. I started playing Destiny again because the Warmind DLC dropped. Destiny 2. Sorry, Destiny 2. The current Destiny, yeah. For on PC. Warmind dropped, I think, last Monday. Not 3 days ago, but
I think
10 days
ago.
I got
the season pass for this, but
yeah. Warmind is I like it so far. I don't know if it's enough to keep me interested, but there's enough there that I could see myself playing for another, 20 hours maybe or 15 hours. And I think that's enough to keep me interested until the next thing comes out. So I don't know. We'll figure it out. I'm having fun doing
that. I feel like it's Call of Duty-itis where it's just DLC.
It might be at this point. But I don't know. I did play
a new
game.
I feel like
you're
dating a bad girlfriend and I'm just watching you. It's just like, no, she's doing better. She got herself a part-time job.
Off of the methamphetamine.
Yeah, and it's like, how long till she loses that part-time job kind of thing.
That's fair point. And I mean, I feel like Destiny 1 ended really strongly. Destiny 2 did not start off, or Destiny 2 started off really strong and then just kind of petered out midway. I don't know. I'll keep you updated on it because I am enjoying it, but it also is taking a backseat to house hunting. I've been hunting for a house, and I'm getting married in October. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on, and I'm sort of unable to play games. But I did start playing a new game for me. It's a game called Ruiner.
And I've heard of this noir-style cyberpunk kind of thing.
It's top-down slash isometric sort of very similar to, like, Hyper Light Drifter or
There was a game, and I can't think of it. We would have a big spaceman in a red suit. I can't remember the name of that darn game.
No, I don't know.
I can't remember the name.
I know. I'm really
Crusader.
Liking... Oh, yeah. 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 It's an old school game. Yeah.
That popped right in my brain.
Yeah, that was good. And then Crusader 2 afterwards, yeah.
Yeah, he just gets out of the... Like, no contact. I remember the cutscene for that. Not to interrupt you, but the cutscene for that, he just gets out of the pod. They're like, what's going on here? And he just starts blowing people away. Yeah.
That's what the... Well, I mean, wasn't that the 90s? Or like...
Oh, yeah, that was the 90s.
The late 90s, early 2000s. Mm-hmm. Things didn't have to make sense then.
I watched that game get played because I was in my underwear sitting on my dad's floor when I was 8.
Oh, okay.
Party.
Do you remember that?
Please continue.
Playing Ruiner, really liking that. Like the whole theming of it. Mm-hmm. It's one of those weird things where... It's a combination of like extreme dark dystopic sort of cyberpunk future and awesome, EDM sort of synth. I really, really like it. The artwork's great. It's not overall like really graphical or anything. But it doesn't try to do too much.
Synthwave.
It's very much synthwave, vaporwave, Simpsons wave. It's super Simpsons. Chill, man. It's great.
But Black Panther.
I feel like we should cut to a song and then come back and talk about Black Panther. Just know Black Panther's coming. It's coming up.
Okay.
We're getting near it. Chiptune Legacy, Big Giant Circles. We're going to catch it after this break. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
And this is the experience.
I'm like so worried about this now. And I'm like,
I need you to get ready. I need you to prepare.
Oh gosh.
Get ready, everybody.
Oh, geez,
Rick. This is the Experience Points radio show exclusively on Southeastern Zone.
90.9 KSLU.
Very well.
Yeah. It's pretty good. It's a pretty good morning.
Welcome to Southeastern Zone, 90.9 FM, KSLU. This is still the Experience Points radio show. I am MG.
I'm currently Dustin.
That was the Chiptune Legacy by Big Giant Circles. We left off previously on Dragon Ball Experience Points. So we talked about Black Panther. Black Panther, again,
yes.
May 8th for the digital release, and yesterday the 15th for the Blu-ray and the DVD.
Yeah, what, do you work for him? Yeah.
No. I saw it very, very recently. I did not see Black Panther in the theaters, but I know enough about Black Panther as a character in the Marvel Universe to get it, to understand it.
Okay.
To get the premise. So I didn't have a lot spoiled for me.
Did you see Captain America Civil War?
I did.
Okay.
So I had the connection. Yeah. And I really like what's his face as T'Challa.
Chadwick Boseman,
and then I really like Michael B. Jordan as Killmonger. Yeah. The aesthetics and everything in the movie were great, but and I don't know your thoughts. We haven't really talked about it. I don't know that I really liked it as a movie.
That makes you racist.
Well, I'm not racist. I know I'm not racist.
No, no, but it's not up to you. Other people make a decision.
I'm very well aware. I've talked to other people about this, and they're like, "Do you not like movies with like a predominantly black cast?" I'm like,
"Well,
no.
That's an assumption."
I'm like, "No, that's no. You cannot like a movie. That's just like, oh, I didn't like this movie about this musical." And they're like, "Do you not like musicals?" And you're like, "No, I just thought the subject matter was garbage." Yeah. And it's not that I think the subject matter in Black Panther is garbage, and it's not that I can't handle. I love Forest Whitaker, and I have for a really long time, except that movie Repo Man with him and Jude Law. That was not a good movie.
Repo Man, yeah.
I personally like Genetic Rock Opera way better, and that also,
don't
was
like
not
that,
a either. Good movie, but it's like a guilty pleasure, and it's a musical, so it's clear it's not that I just like musicals.
So what was your problems with Black Panther?
I love the aesthetic. I feel like a lot of movies, and it's Hollywood now, every movie doesn't need to have a political message.
You thought that was too heavy-handed.
I thought it was too heavy-handed, but that wasn't even the worst part because, ironically, it's a nation that has all of this power and technology and they don't want to share it with the rest of the world for fear that the rest of the world might use it against them. Does that sound a little bit like America sometimes? Or any first world country that has like an armament that you scared? Uh-huh. So that was a little annoying that there was this like political sort of like a mirror put on politics. And I feel like that's very in video games, in music, and in art in general, that you've got that going on. But that's not really what turned me off to the movie. Visually, it was very good. I felt that it did or tried to do too much with so many people, with such large concepts in such a small amount of time, that they spent more time trying to do world building, and they didn't do a very good job, and they barely scrape the surface on character building, because Killmonger, as deep as a character, I guess, as I thought he was, a lot of that was me filling in blanks. It felt like he was a very one-dimensional character. T'Challa, in my opinion, had the most, well, next to Okira, was that her name? The lead warrior.
I think something like that.
Yeah, like I think all of the actors and actresses in the movie were fantastic. I especially like Martin Freeman. Ever since Fargo and Fargo season 2 and The World's End, I think he was in World's End.
Yes, he was.
I love him as an actor.
He's great as Watson in Sherlock as well.
Oh, he is Watson. Yeah, he's Watson in Sherlock with Cumberbatch. But the now they're both in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah,
that means that they can mix up and they can say a cool thing. They could like buddy up or whatever. But I thought that with the exception of maybe those two characters, all of the other ones just were very immediately stereotypical or very much typecast as just a very easy type. Like you had the sister who was just like this amazingly smart sister that does all the tech and everything, and no one else seemed to know anything about anything the entire movie. You had the warrior, class of people that were exclusively female, and I don't think that was ever addressed. I think there was
one group's female, one group's male.
There was the border tribe. The border tribe was like mostly male, and I guess there for all of the world building they did, I thought that they didn't do enough character building, and that most of the characters were very single dimensioned. And I this isn't the first time I felt this way. I felt this way in other movies, and I don't necessarily remember any Marvel movies that I felt this way in. Though admittedly, Black Panther is not my strongest superhero like character. Like, I know more about the Hulk than I do Black Panther. Mm-hmm. And we had the only movie that's really canon is the Edward Norton version. We haven't had a Garofalo version or whatever, or Mark Ruffalo Garofalo.
Garofalo.
Janine Garofalo. That's what I thought. I was like, she's not the Hulk.
Well, I think the weird thing about Black Panther, and as I went into it and kind of as I understood the film, I think I had more of an expectation of that the main character of Black Panther was not Black Panther. The main character is Wakanda.
Yes, they were selling the idea of progress. I think they were selling progress, and the interesting thing is T'Challa held to views that were very similar to his father, and then by the end of the movie, they were holding to views that were a little more progressive
and kind of
shaking the foundation. And it was through Killmonger's campaign through the entire movie that that T'Challa changed his mind and sort of averaged his father and Killmonger together. Mm-hmm. And that was what he went with.
Right. Well, I thought it wasn't – it's probably one of my I liked it a lot. And like the world building of Wakanda and everything like that, it felt with, you know, I agree is that I didn't get to see too much more of those characters as much as I like, because it did feel like there's a lot to unload.
Yeah.
There's a lot to unload. There's a lot you have to establish before your audience gets tired.
When you look at, you know, we had Black Panther come in at the beginning of Civil War. And then I think at also like another part in Civil War, like maybe the big airport scene or whatever.
Yeah.
He was there.
Oh, no, he was in for a lot of the movie.
He was in there for a lot of movie, but we didn't know any backstory about him. Right. When we look at any of the other movies or any other characters in that movie, and I'm just going to pick one that don't have their own movie, like we have Black Widow. You don't need to do a ton of character building with Black Widow or with world
building. You understand the world she came from.
Right. You through I mean, this is like the eighth movie or the ninth movie that she's been in or something.
You understand she's an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. She was probably like Russian Spetsnaz or something like that.
She grew up in Romania or whatever.
Right.
She's, and if that's wrong, I'm sorry, the nerds correctly.
Yeah.
But I mean,
actually.
But I mean, so that's my big deal there is that they had to spend so much time building both the world, not only the world, but also the characters, that I felt that it sort of it went a little flat.
If there's a Black Widow standalone film, you won't have to do that as much.
Right. You'll be able to spend more time making the movie really good on its own.
On the character.
I also think that, and again, I am a
you could make a world.
I'm a white heterosexual male. I'm going to say that I can't relate to a lot of the struggles that are in Black Panther that are very they're not just understood, they are
directly alluded to.
Right. They're it's not like I'm just reading between the lines on this.
Right. No, and that's the thing. It's like it is a movie for it's for everybody, but I think if you're Black, it's especially a good movie because there's something that's directly speaking to your culture,
right?
That is unique to a Black identity. That we don't. There's a understanding of certain obstacles that we don't understand,
right?
And that's this film acknowledges that and weaves that into its storytelling, which is what I gave it a lot of credit for doing.
I would say it weaves it into its storytelling, and at points, and it's especially with the Killmonger side of a character. There's an understanding of we can't just give people technology they don't understand because they will just look at it and it will just be a gun.
Yes.
And then the other side of, you know, we need to share our knowledge or we need to try and help with our agents. You know, we planted agents throughout the world. We need to help that way very passively, very quietly, but we still help versus the opposite side and sort of the Killmonger approach. And if I'm spoiling anything, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to. I'm trying to speak very generally. But the opposing side of that is a very abrasive approach where we say, we want them to have the gun. We want to give them the weapons, the big scary weapons that no one can compete with, which is something else I took kind of a different side with. In the comics and really, I guess in every comic I've read about Black Panther, Wakandan technology was on par with like S.H.I.E.L.D. and Hydra. They were sort of not competing, but they were at the same level. I would even say because I remember Black Panther in the comic series married Storm from the X-Men, and I remember the technology that they constantly had going back and forth was comparable to that of the mutants, of the X-Men. So whenever you see what S.H.I.E.L.D. has, and yeah, they got the big helicarriers and Hydra, they got crazy stuff, and then you see Wakanda, and it seems like all of their technology is just alien technology, is just beyond anything, and it comes with time. I mean, you make a movie, the prequels to Star Wars, the technology looks a lot better than the movies that came before, but technically chronologically or after it, you know. So I get that maybe it's just the way that it seems, and especially with no comparison to S.H.I.E.L.D. technology. Like, it's not like we saw, you know, Hydra versus S.H.I.E.L.D. versus Wakandan artillery going against each other, you know, hammering each other and who would win. But it just seemed like it was way too strong. Going back to my original point is
Well, it's the vibranium that gave him that edge.
Right, right, and that's fine. I feel like there's a bunch of people like that are on there's like they happened upon this. I'm like, it's a comic book movie. Like I'm not.
Oh yeah, it makes sense because vibranium is an element that could do things that other elements can't.
Right, and there's only one part in the world that does this.
It really has it. Right,
it's a comic book and science fiction movie. It's okay that there's I can't remember. It's like Act of God or a
Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah, some Deus Ex moment that appears just to be like, okay, well, the plot wills it. Well, yeah, I mean, yeah. We get it. That's not like it's a new thing for the movie.
So you got to suspend your disbelief a little bit.
Right. Yeah. And again, it is a comic book movie. Like, right. I did feel like the politics were a little heavy handed. Mm-hmm. And I've digested it for a little bit because I watched it after the digital release. So I've had it. Well, since before the last show would have aired, mm-hmm. I've had time to watch it two or three more times, and I think three more times, so three times total. And I didn't dislike the movie, but I feel like Iron Man, and again, Iron Man, I think Iron Man's one of the better. To say that Black Panther is better than a movie like Iron Man or like Guardians of the Galaxy, mm-hmm. I feel like it's hard to compare them. You can't just say it is. Yeah. They're Marvel movies. They're all comparable to each other.
And that would be incorrect to say that they are because right. Each one tries to do a different thing.
Right. And they've evolved. I mean, mm-hmm. Black Panther, I think, is the before Infinity War came out, was the highest grossing or the best Marvel movie or whatever. It broke so many records. And the guys at Marvel are doing it again. People at Marvel, you know, guys, but guys and girls over at Marvel are doing it again. It's awesome. That's fantastic. I bet it's a cool place to work.
Yeah.
The politics really did turn me off to it. Because there's also the social sort of narrative around it where if you don't have nothing but praise for the movie, anything other than praise, you are a racist. I'm not a racist. I'm sorry. I'm just not. You know, I know people are racist. Like, I'm not one.
Yeah. The movie is, to me, though, I don't have a problem with the politics because he is a king of a nation.
Right.
So politics will play a part in his life. Yeah. And his conflict, he really can't. The character can't get away from that.
I feel like it's less of the. Yeah, it's hard to watch these movies in a vacuum. That's what I think. That's what I think. My annoying thing is,
and that's the thing is, I kind of turn it off and in the vacuum. I'm like, I'm not going to forget everything else. He's the king of a country. That's unique to his character.
Right.
Everyone else in, you know, the Avengers ensemble or anything like that, they're not in that kind of position. They're not national leaders. He is the only one who is. So politics will come up more, and issues like this would come up more with his character. To me, that made sense.
Well, I think it's I guess I misstated my argument or my frustration was that the politics of specifically like the disenfranchised American
right, that
ghetto,
metaphor like between African and black.
The clear metaphor
and
between,
then,
you know, because T'Challa,
post-slavery. Let's say what it is, post-slavery.
Right.
And Joseph B. Gordon, whose character represents, Michael B. Jordan, excuse me. Yeah. They both represent that to these two very different
completely separate worlds.
Like, these two separate worlds.
Chadwick Boseman, or T'Challa, effectively was, you know, a prince from the beginning. He, silver spoon in his mouth sort of upbringing. That doesn't mean he didn't work for what he has. It doesn't mean that, but it was sort of a family thing, and it was given to him, and he never really needed to do. He didn't have to struggle the same way that Killmonger's character.
And that was Killmonger's point. It was like, and Killmonger's very aware that he was the only one. And you know what's funny? I think the fact that we're talking about this so in depth, gives credit to the movie because it starts discussion.
It is definitely not just a summertime throwaway, like a Pacific Rim.
You could talk
sort of
about
movie.
This movie, I and that's like something I really liked about it as well.
It's something that I feel like people definitely took sides on, and my side that I'm taking is I feel like you get branded a certain way if you like or dislike the movie.
Oh no, absolutely.
And I don't.
Ghostbusters 2016 all over again.
Oh man, this is.
But I'll say this.
I feel like this was significantly better than Ghostbusters.
But I feel like with this one I think that's calmed down a little bit because there's people who said, you know, I didn't enjoy. I'll say this. I've told people, you know, I didn't enjoy Black Panther as much as Thor Ragnarok. I'll say that right now. As far as just pure like having fun,
right.
And enjoying what I was looking at, Thor Ragnarok was a fun ride for me.
Yeah,
Black Panther. I don't think I haven't. You know, Black Panther is available on digital HD, but I'm like, I can wait a little bit till my next paycheck. Thor Ragnarok, I had to get right now because it's just so delightful.
I definitely I appreciate I whenever I go to the movies, unless it's like, I don't know, a soul searchy type of movie or like a deep dive type of movie.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, let's just call it what it is. Black Panther is a superhero movie in a universe, a cinematic universe that Marvel has just pretty much defined. I mean, there's no other movie, no other series of movies has been the Marvel Cinematic Universe or anywhere close.
Well, the idea of even that term you're using, cinematic universe.
Right. Not the extended universe, DC.
Not the extended universe, DC. DC could shove up their dark, gray filtered butts with that.
Nice.
But the idea of the CU, that was not a thing 10 years ago.
Right.
There was no such thing as a cinematic universe. You said cinematic universe. Everyone have looked at you and like, what in earth, God's green earth are you talking about?
Every studio is trying to do it. They're trying to redo it with the monster movies. They've
abandoned that.
Really?
I think they have.
Good.
Because the Mummy redo.
The Mummy didn't do it. They were going to do Frankenstein. I was curious about how they were going to do that.
They were going to do Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde for a hot minute.
Yeah.
They tried to get it started with Dracula.
They would have gotten Tom Hardy, I think, to do it.
Oh, yeah. They would have.
Tom Hardy's like gold right now, I think.
Oh, no. I think they had Russell Brand as that.
Really?
At the end of The Mummy, if I remember correctly.
Oh, no. I would not want. Mm-hmm. No.
And
no.
They had a. It was supposed to start off the Marvel, the Universal. Marvel Cinematic Universes that they were trying to plug was going to start with Dracula Untold, but they just kind of abandoned it.
Probably for the best.
Probably should have gotten the hint then.
I know that, you know, Black Panther was a component to a multi-component system that was established and confirmed to be working well before Black Panther. And it's great that it's continuing, that it's perpetuating the success. I think not necessarily should be avoided, but just understand that how I feel about this is that Black Panther has instigated a lot of awesome discussion.
Oh, yeah.
I think Black Panther has also contributed to a lot of negative discussion.
That's the unfortunate problem with people.
I know that that's sort of the side effect. Yeah. I hate when people are, you know, they say, did you see Black Panther? I'm like, oh, yeah, I saw Black Panther. And they're like, what'd you think about it? I'm like, I could have worked on this. And they're like, well, don't you think, you know, and they immediately,
like, no, listen to what
if
I'm
any
saying,
of those people
yeah.
are listening to the show, like, I'm not calling you out or anything, but I mean, you know, we have a discussion.
And by the way, you're an idiot if you're the start of your conversation goes like this to your counter. So what you're saying is,
yes.
I'm like, I hate that.
Yeah.
No. You know why? Because I didn't say that.
Right.
Idiot.
I love.
Sorry.
That was the. I was watching, we were talking about this during one of the breaks where it was like John Mulaney, was watching a lot of John Mulaney, and it was his,
it was his
skit where his dad, or somebody was like, so you're against the death penalty? And it was like, well, what if you saw Hitler walking down the street?
Oh, no, that was like his kid got pushed. Like, did the Nazis?
Oh, yeah, no.
He's like, I was
dad.
On the bench.
It was like, over there on the bench. And then later, there was another skit where it was like, you know, so you're against the death penalty. And you're like, yeah, I just don't believe in killing people. And they're like, so you don't, you're saying that if you saw Hitler, you wouldn't kill Hitler? And he's like,
that's not what I said.
That's not what I'm saying, but let's discuss
this. Let's talk about this
other
completely
topic.
Different. I hate that.
I love that because that's what it feels like people do. Like, we were talking about Black Panther as a movie. We weren't talking about racism, but inevitably that's what the conversation goes to. And I think
it's a logical. It's a logical fallacy. I think the name of it is rebranding or something like that, where you're saying somebody's argument is different from what they actually just said.
I wanted to talk about the movie. I didn't want to talk about the politics of the real world that the movie it has a parallel sort of stream. Maybe
it's
but
not
like,
the world's not, first perfect movie.
Not everything. Yeah, and I think people definitely did that. Exactly how I'm glad you said that. That's exactly
you
what
like
feel.
That, huh?
I've got people on Facebook that are constantly posting like, "This is it. This is the one. This is, you know, this it, is, speaks very well," and you could feel good about it.
Oh, but, yeah, and especially again, if you're Black, there's something very special to be had about this movie.
And I'm not unaware of the fact that it's, you know, and I think we said it earlier where we aren't going to resonate. It's not going to resonate the same way.
No, it's not.
Because we didn't grow up in that sort of atmosphere. Right. We, if anyone, we are more like T'Challa than we are like Killmonger because we probably grew up just by the state of things. We grew up more like he did than Killmonger did. And that doesn't mean that we can't. It's not like we can't have an opinion about it, though. And I feel like that is sort of another problem.
I remember
And again,
when
it's more of a people problem than a movie problem. I thought the characters were one-dimensional, so... We're going to cut to a song. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about some other stuff. Kirk Hamilton with the Undertale woodwind arrangement. Really like this. Kirk Hamilton and Jason Schreier, again, off of Kotaku split screen.
I do need to play Undertale.
It's, dude, Undertale's so good. The music is really good. This is a very faithful rendition of it. He plays like all of them instruments too. Really great. I'm MG.
I'm Dustin.
This is the Experience Points Radio Show exclusively on Southeastern Zone
90.9 KSLU.
Do the training, swing energy machete. His combination's ready, I'll form the head.